everyone. Today, Reef Resilience is interviewing Dr. Anique Cross, coral reef scientist, who is a researcher at the Hawaiian Institute of Marine Biology. And today, she will share highlights from her recent publication on population genetic structure between Yap and Palau, and how genetics can be used to tackle conservation issues.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me here.
So can you start off with introducing what population genetics is?
Sure. In very simple terms, it's the study of genetic variation in populations to understand their structure, their boundaries, and connectivity with other populations. When you study population genetics, you typically ask questions such as, how much gene flow is there between these two populations? As managers, surprisingly, you ask very similar questions. How much spillover will I get from this MPA, and where will the larvae recruit? Or are these two groups of turtles related, and should I manage them as one?
How can population genetics be used as a tool in management?
So you're right into thinking that population genetics shouldn't systematically be used to answer a management question because it's time consuming, expensive, and require resources and skill you may not have. However, in the case of connectivity of marine organisms and the design of MPA networks, population genetics seems to be the best tool that we have at the moment. This is due to the fact that most marine organisms reproduce via very small pelagic larvae that are very difficult to track. And so, although we often rely on oceanographic models to predict where larvae will go and settle, we don't always get the right answer. And so population genetics will not track larvae directly, but it will give information on where larvae have settled over time. And the paper that we wrote actually is an example of how to use population genetics to answer one of these questions. So we used Palau as our case study because in 1998, Palau suffered from heavy bleaching mortality, yet by 2004-2005, reports showed that the reef had almost recovered. And so managers and scientists wanted to know how it had recovered so quickly and where the coral larvae came from. One of the hypotheses that we had was supported by an oceanographic model, and it said that Palau recovered from a pulse recruitment event from Yap, a neighboring island approximately 500 kilometers away. And we wanted to test if this was true. So using a coral called Acropora hyacinthus, we tested for a founder effect between Yap and Palau. The founder effect says that if larvae originating from Yap had traveled to Palau and recolonized the reef, the same genetic signature should be found on Yap and Palau, but with less genetic diversity that exists in Yap. And that's because only a small fraction of Yap's genetic diversity would have traveled to Palau. We found that this was not the case, and we rejected the hypothesis of Yap being the sole sources of Palau recovery. And we actually found other signs indicating that it was more than likely that Palau recovered from its own surviving colonies.
How does the results from your paper translate into management actions that can be implemented on the ground?
Well, knowing that Palau did not recover only from Yap and most likely had recovered from its own surviving colonies, gave us the tools to tell managers that the best strategy to increase Palau's reef resilience was not to invest in the protection of Yap's coral reef, but instead to invest in protecting their reefs at home. And we're currently looking at further information to see how to protect these coral reefs at home based on population genetic information.
Great. Well, thanks, Anique, for joining us and sharing some of the highlights from your work. If you would like to get the full story, you can read Anique's publication on population genetics at reefresilience.org. Thank you.
Thank you.